Cyborg, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show, and a final hour here on this Monday night, and we do appreciate very much you guys being with us, and we would like it very much if you were a part of us even more. You know, you're doing a lot for us, but now we want you to do even more for us. And that's kind of a take on a Jonathan Winters thing that was funny when he did it. And
but not now.
But not now. Nonetheless, if you have a backstage pass to our website, that's a cool thing, because what that does is, in exchange for you subscribing to our website, we love for you to have access to the largest archive of any radio show in the history of the world. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The podcast that we've been doing, that you've been hearing on iTunes and everywhere else, is going to be most likely going away in its present form. So those of you who have been enjoying that podcast, it is going to be curtailed, because we're going to do some different things. And the Bobby Dooley podcast will continue. Part two, as a matter of fact, of the Jay Moore is airing. Is it part one or part two? Part one is airing right now, and part two is coming up on Friday. But the free Phil Hendry podcast, as we used to call it, the free, now it's just the Phil Hendry podcast, is definitely going to be changing, morphing away from what it is. So one of the reasons why we have done that podcast is to give you an opportunity to listen to the great stuff we have in our archives. And there's so much that every night that we decide to do the podcast, we just, it's literally, I'm telling you, it's almost like just throwing a dart, and just wherever it lands, we go to that hour in that year or that month, and it's 99% of the time something fantastic. And that's about how hard it is to do that podcast, you know.
Just everywhere you go.
Just about everywhere we go in the archives. It doesn't matter where. Boom. Throw a dart. There it is. And you've got something great. So that's something you can do yourself with a backstage pass. So go to philhendryshow.com. Sign up. Get that BSP. And be a part of what we think is a radio history, because it's literally all going to go away someday.
What's that mean? You're going to die or something?
Well, yes, I'm going to die, but we're going to... it's eventually going to be just, you know, going away. No, I don't know.
Well, it'll be going away in one form or another.
Well, I mean, people have downloaded our stuff down through the years, but I'm saying our site, you know, the actual, if you will, quality of this material, the audio quality of the material, the accessibility of this material is going to become more and more a sort of diffuse thing, and more difficult to find. All right. Anyway, welcome back to our program, 877-876-PHIL. For those of you that were with us during our, speaking of our backstage past people, those of you that were listening during the break, you were listening to a song that we were playing during the break by the Sound City Players. Do you know this group, Bud?
Yeah, Dave Grohl.
I'm the reporter. I'm the entertainment reporter. Dave Grohl and Rick Nielsen and Corey Taylor and this boy, what's the boy?
You talking about a black man?
No, he's not a black man.
Why'd you think a black man?
Same boy.
No,
You mean Scott Breeder?
I think so, yes.
All right. Well, in any event, they have this group, Sound City Players, and we were listening to one of their songs. It's very good. But apparently they played their very last gig, and it was at the South by Southwest event there in Austin earlier this month. And that's the end of that, man. So apparently he put together this sort of super group. He was promising to bring the band down to Sydney as part of a Sound City World Tour. He opened the band's South by Southwest show at Stubbs in Austin by announcing that, quote, "Unfortunately, this might be the last night we're ever going to do this." Rolling Stone magazine reported from South by Southwest, it's even more definitive, referring to the gig as the band's last ever show. In an interview with the Los Angeles-based Nerdist podcast last month, Chris Hardwick's podcast, Grohl had revealed plans to take his supergroup on the road for a series of shows in L.A., New York, London, Berlin, Sydney, and, of course, South by Southwest.
Now, why do they figure out those towns?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, those are very pivotal cities. New York, London, Berlin, Sydney, I don't know.
Yeah, what's pivotal about those? There's New York. I get New York. I get L.A., New York, and London. Berlin, maybe, then Sydney, and then Austin.
Maybe they got friends there.
They probably got a place to stay.
They probably got a place to stay. Are you serious?
Are you idiots? They've got all the money they need. They can stay anywhere they want.
What are you talking about? If you go, yeah, but you, what?
If you go to a town, if you're a guy like Dave, if you're a cat with selling records, man, you have to, what do you mean a place to stay?
Crash at someone's house.
You're not going to crash at someone's house. You're going to stay in a hotel.
Oh.
Yeah. Those are probably places where they could crash. Anyway, the final show from the Sound City Players was a 38-track, 3-hour-plus marathon. Grohl and the Foo Fighters as backing band. The show featured a parade of musical legends, including Stevie Nicks, John Fogerty, Corey Taylor, Chris Novoselic, Cheap Trick's Rick Nielsen, and Fear's Lee Ving. And there you go. So it's an album you can get. It's a pretty good album, too. And the picture I'm looking of at these cats, I don't see these guys. That's the Foo Fighters, you know.
That's not the group.
Rick Nielsen was with Cheap Trick, so he's like my generation. And I wonder if he's lost his baseball cap.
You're talking about when he looked...
Yeah, Rick Nielsen had that sort of demented-looking... He was another demented kid thing. You know, there was that... There was Angus Young's AC/DC-crazed kid, and Rick Nielsen was an American version of that, with a baseball cap and kind of a wigged-out face.
What do you mean?
These guys... What do you mean, what do I mean? You know the guy in AC/DC?
Yeah, Angus Young.
He dresses up like an English schoolboy.
Oh, is that what that is? I didn't even... That looked so weird.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
That's supposed to be an English schoolboy, like a little Lord Fauntleroy, like a little, a little rich kid back in the day.
Yes.
Okay. So that was why Angus Young dresses up like that. And then...
What's that mean?
It means he's like this kid who's got a rich family, and they send him to a private school, and he's got his little private school uniform, but in point of fact, he's a maniac, and he loves to listen to heavy metal.
Oh, okay.
Right. Then you got the Rick Nielsen character that he played in Cheap Trick. Well, I say played. And that guy, Bun E. Carlos, so the drummer in Cheap Trick was another guy that was kind of weird. He was a dude that, I don't know, but in any event.
But a guy, Bun E. Carlos, man, he looked like a
South American, like, I don't know. Shoe salesman.
A South American shoe salesman. Okay. Rick Nielsen had that baseball cap and a sweater, and so he looked like some, you know, weirded out American kid. That was kind of what people did back then. Anyway, he's a part of the, or was a part of the Sound City Players, ladies and gentlemen, here in the final hour of the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget to join us for the Bobby Dooley podcast, which is right up there now with part one of Jay Moore. Coming up next is Kevin Pollak. And then I'm very, very excited to say we're going to have John Ratzenberger. You know, John Ratzenberger played Cliff the Postman on Cheers, kind of an iconic character. And so talking to him, not only about that, but Bobby talking to him. Well, Bobby will butcher it, you know.
Oh, he'll ruin it, yes.
So, but nonetheless, maybe he will get out some of the interesting things that he's been doing as he stumbles through this interview with Bobby Dooley. Maybe we'll get her up so she can talk about it.
Well, I don't know if she's awake.
We'll wake her up. Sorry. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show. What's the story here?
It says KPRC in Houston.
KPRC Houston's been one of the greatest, most loyal radio stations that we could ever have had. Just fantastic. And what are they saying? They're airing it Tuesday through Saturdays now?
I think.
Well, in any event, I got all these people, man, weighing in on a website. I appreciate that, you guys, very, very much. Not the website, on our Facebook page. And by the way, if you'd like to be a, if you'd like to join us over at Facebook, all you have to do is go to facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, PhilHenryFans, P-H-A-N-S. And we generally have some very good information there for you about all kinds of things. And yes, I just got the word here, the Jay Mohr podcast dropped. It dropped last Friday.
What do you mean dropped?
It dropped. I misspoke. Okay, Bud, what?
I wanted to, because of the insomnia? Because of the insomnia that you have, I wanted to sing a song.
You want to sing a song to me?
Yeah, this is a song that you should remember when you go to sleep tonight. And it goes something like this. 1, 2...
Don't count it down, Bud.
That's what you do.
Because I'm a professional.
All right, hold on.
Excuse me.
See, he did it.
All right, so he did it. Go.
All right, 1, 2, 1. Go to sleep, my baby, my baby, my baby. Wait a minute.
Oh, God, you flatted.
Yeah, it was pretty good, Bud, but you flatted.
Where did you get a voice like that?
I sing. Don't worry about it. 1, 2, and 1, 2.
You're doing it all wrong, Bud.
Let him do it. Count it down the way he wants to.
Yeah, I'm going to count it down the way that I want to.
Oh, well, okay.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Go to sleep. Wait a minute.
Oh, God.
Margaret, you got to have patience. Just because you're a professional singer, you know, some people don't do it all that good.
Well, no kidding.
All right.
Yeah, because you're a professional singer. 1, 2, 1. Wait a minute. 1, 2. The 1, 2, 3. Go to sleep, my baby. My baby. My baby. Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah, see, you can't get it. You can't get it done. And that's what separates the boys from the men.
So you're a man.
You...
All right, hey, you walked right into that one, Margaret.
Lousy little punk. You dirty, greasy...
You walked right into it.
Yeah, well, I got something for him to walk into.
Yeah, well, it kind of did walk into it.
I know I walked into it. I get it.
You walked into it.
You want to walk into something?
Oh, my God, she's lifting her dress up.
No...
Hey. So, Bud, that's not bad, but you still, you know, you're tone deaf, as we say.
What's that mean?
It means you can't hear the note. That's probably the biggest problem most people have when they sing, you know. A lot of people have very good voices. It's not about the quality of the voice. People are tone deaf. You ever heard someone sing, like you just did, and they couldn't get the melody to save their ass, you know?
Yeah, like my uncle can't sing, he could never sing Happy Birthday to You.
What? Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. I'll call my aunt up. She could tell you. He'd never be able to sing Happy Birthday to You, Happy Birthday to You, because he always butchered it alive.
Your uncle?
Yeah, my late uncle.
This is your Aunt Mavis's husband?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to hear this story. I mean, how easy is it to sing Happy Birthday?
Well, go ahead. How does it go?
You know how it goes.
Happy birthday to you. But you see, Phil, I know how to do happy birthday, not just the melody, which any imbecile, excuse me, Robert, for saying all due respect to your uncle, but any imbecile knows that melody.
Well, my uncle knew the melody. Hold on. Yeah, hey, honey, you come on the radio right now to talk about Uncle ML? Yeah.
Anyone could sing, but it takes a little bit of style and talent to make something with the song. So what I would do is when Jason J. Delmonico would have his birthday parties, I'd come out and I'd say to the children, when, you know, they were young, but I'd come out in some kind of evening dress.
Wait a minute. How old was Jason?
I don't know, like his fourth or fifth birthday, and I'd put on a cocktail dress. Why?
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to put on a cocktail dress.
What are you trying to intimate? That it was inappropriate? That it was low cut? Children don't care. I could walk out there nude, and they'd still be into their cake and ice cream.
Yeah, sure.
So I'd come out, I'd go, Happy birthday to you. Whee! Happy birthday to you. Whoops. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birth. Then what I would do is a jazz, sort of a jazz rhythm. Happy birthday. You. Happy birthday. To you, you understand? Robert, you're black, you get it.
Hey. All right, let me, Robert, you're black, you get it.
Well, you know, the polyrhythms.
All right, Mavis Leonard is going to join us here to talk about her late husband, the ML, and this has to do more with the...
Yeah, Bala. Hey, Arnie.
Yeah, Robert, I want to talk to Phil Henry. You want me to call in?
Yeah, Arnie, I just want to tell Miss Henry about Uncle ML.
Hey, how you doing, Mavis?
I'm doing good, Phil. How are you doing? I'm very happy to see you tonight.
Did we wake you up?
Did you do what?
Did we wake you up?
I didn't wake you up.
No, I know. You didn't wake me up. Did I wake you up?
No, you did not wake me up. My nephew woke me up. And by the way, I want to ask, let me ask Robert something.
Yeah.
You come home tonight. And you can have anything in that icebox you want, but you touch that, if you even go near that pineapple upside down cake, there's going to be a dead brother in the backyard near that, you know, the blue can they use for recycling?
Yeah.
I'm going to recycle you. And that's all that I have to say about that. Because what happens to...
Yeah, I told you I never heard that.
No. Let me tell Mr. Henry, I had a pineapple upside down cake. I said, I love pineapple upside down cake forever and evermore. And this fat slob put his face right in it, you know.
I ate a cake. Doesn't mean I put my face in it.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, I probably ate it and shoved your face all up in it.
Yeah, well.
So what did you do, man? You ate the whole cake? That's got to be some kind of, I mean, come on, dude. There's other people going to eat it.
I didn't think my own want to eat that. You said you don't like sweets.
I told you I love pineapple upside down cake because it's upside down. That's why I like it.
Yeah, I don't figure out how. Why?
Because I just do. I like to eat pineapple upside down cake because I can't, because it's upside down. And that sort of twists it all out. You know, I just like it. Don't ask me why.
All right. Mavis, the question is this. Is it true that your husband, your late husband, couldn't sing Happy Birthday?
No, he could not. He couldn't carry a tune.
Yeah, see?
Couldn't carry a tune. He would sound, Happy Birthday to you, Happy Birthday to you. That's what it would sound like. And by the way, I'm glad he couldn't sing it. I don't think anybody should sing it. I heard, Bud, you sing that. You never should sing that.
Why not?
Because it's owned by Time Warner. Can you believe that?
What?
That's right. You didn't know that, did you?
Who's the Time Warner?
Well, you dumbass. You don't know what Time Warner is.
I know. Time Warner's a big, big media company. Time Warner owns...
Time Warner owns Happy Birthday. And they enforce the copyright. Now, look. I don't understand enforcing the copyright. If that's the only income they got and not that many people sing it. But everybody loves Happy Birthday. Everyone loves it. I love it. You love it. I would love to sing it all the day long, you know. But I'm glad that my late husband couldn't sing it because I don't want nobody singing it so that Time Warner don't get to have no money.
Well, it might even be worse or for Time Warner if you encourage people to sing it.
But then Time Warner going to come after them for the royalties, see, and I don't want that.
You trying to tell me they come after you for trying to get paid?
Yeah, they come after you if you sing Happy Birthday, just like what Bud Dickman did.
Well, wait, are they going to come after me?
No, they're not going to come after you.
I wouldn't be so sure.
They're not going to come after him. They're going to come after people for the recording of Happy Birthday. A guy singing it, you know.
Ain't this on a radio program? It's on a radio show? Ain't that true?
Yeah, that's true, and they're hearing me doing it.
Oh, don't get scared. God.
But you don't know. What do you think they're going to do, man? Time Warner's a big company.
What, are they going to send the men in black? Or don't worry about it, man. So, no kidding. Time Warner owns the copyright to Happy Birthday.
That's right. I don't stutter. And I'll tell you something else.
I know that you don't stutter.
I'll tell you something else. And now, my late husband, here's how I used to sing Happy Birthday. I say, ML, it's Robert's birthday, your nephew. Go ahead. He goes, oh, Robert, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Robert. Happy birthday to you.
That's still happy birthday.
No, it's not happy birthday. It's so bad. Nah, that's not happy birthday.
Well, it sort of is happy birthday.
The hell it is. It didn't sound nothing like happy birthday to me.
Well, it's the lyrics.
The lyrics. Man, you got to, I tell you, you got to be high on a mixture of chemicals. I think that is lyrically.
All right, well, Mavis, thank you very much for that bit of insight. Why did I even talk to your aunt about that?
You want to get some information.
Yeah, that's great, but now I know way too much about happy birthday. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I found him. Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I was looking for my glasses. These glasses that I got two pair over the weekend, and yes, I do need them for reading. It's been a long time. It's almost you know, like 60 years, man, and I never really needed glasses for reading. But in the last few years, it started getting bad, so I finally got these here glasses. Welcome back to the show. So the idea that happy birthday is something where you're going to get busted. You're not going to get busted, man. The whole thing about any copyright-protected thing is the following thing, man. It's like, if you're singing it at your house, and it's not, you're not making any money on that, you're just singing it to your kids, or you're singing it to your wife, or she's singing it to you, or whatever, this is not a public performance insofar as you're going to make a profit or you're going to be benefiting from it. You're just singing it. It's like two friends sharing a song that they like. If you got an MP3 of something and you send it to a friend of yours, you're not publicly sharing that. You're sending it to your friend. So there's that. If, on the other hand, it can be interpreted by whoever owns the copyright that you're profiting from it, then you have a right to tell them to stop. And so, like Dan was just saying, if you go into these restaurants...
Well, they have different versions of happy birthday.
Yes, you go into a Mexican restaurant, you go into some of these restaurants, they got different melodies. One of the reasons they do that is because technically singing happy birthday, which is owned by Time Warner, in these restaurants can be interpreted by the attorneys for Time Warner as that restaurant using a copyright-protected piece of material to enhance their business. Now, it seems silly. And we're so used to getting things in this world, certain things in this world for free, that we just cannot fathom the idea of anyone. And I have to tell you, I don't know if Time Warner has actually gone after anybody, but it does say here that they actually have enforced the copyright of Happy Birthday. So maybe they do that with big companies, you know.
Well, what do you mean?
Like if they were singing Happy Birthday at Disneyland or something, where, you know, where there's a company that is obviously made out of money, and they don't need to go and use somebody else's property. Maybe if I was Time Warner, I'd say, well, you know what? I've got to get Disney to stop doing that. If it's just some small little ma and pa restaurant, is it really going to hurt you? So these are the decisions you have to make. One of the things that people don't understand, more and more people are starting to understand it now because of the Instagram issue and Facebook. There's another one.
Well, Facebook, you're... They own everything.
No, they don't.
What about Facebook said? They own everybody's posts.
No, they don't. 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 And one other thing. Somebody, I don't know who, but it's always a lot of fun to see how far people can go with certain things. Somebody was sending around Facebook this big, long paragraph. Post this on your status update and Facebook won't be able to own anything, which is complete and utter horse dung. A, because Facebook doesn't own what you post, and B, that post ain't going to do diddly squat anyway if they did. Because you agree to the terms of the use before you get your account.
Well, what is that? So in other words, you've just signed away your rights.
No, you've signed away whatever you've agreed to, whatever you've agreed to. So posting something on your dopey status update on Facebook ain't going to do anything. It's not going to change anything legally. You already agreed to these terms. But the fact is, Facebook doesn't own your photographs. They don't own your posts. They don't own your... Now, one of the problems that maybe Instagram got into, maybe Facebook got into it too, is I think they were reusing some people's stuff, and Instagram especially did something that really got people pissed off. They might have changed the terms of service or something. So everybody was going ape crap over at Instagram for about 48 hours when they thought that Instagram now owns all of your pictures. Ah! And suddenly everybody became really interested in this thing called copyright protection. And that's kind of the way of the world. That's the way people are. They're not interested. They could give a damn until it happens to affect them. And then they're all of a sudden, the whole world's got to get interested in it because, you know, they are. And that's human nature. And what people were doing is saying, how dare you, Instagram? You don't own that's my photograph. I took that picture of my grandfather. That, you know, yeah, these are mementos. Instagram immediately clarified.
Yeah, Instagram, they backed off. Otherwise, they're going to be in trouble.
They didn't back off of anything, you jackball. They never did own anything.
Exactly. They didn't own anything, and they came clean on that. Okay. But one of the things that people learned, I think, through the Instagram thing, through the Facebook thing, is, you know, you do agree to terms that you sort of agree to, and we all, you know, myself included, we just, sure, and we click through all this stuff, and we never really read them, and we don't really know what it is we're agreeing to. It's a very important thing to do.
Now, you talk about if the people had read those terms and had said that we're going to own everything, they'd be in trouble.
Well, yeah, because... if, in point of fact, when you signed up to Facebook, it did say, and we own anything that you print in your or you publish, and now there's a picture of you and your grandma that's going to be seen all over the world because Facebook seems to think that it's really great and it's going to promote their business, you can't do anything about that. If that was the case. But it's not. It's not the case. It never was the case. And thank goodness, because what we learned from all of that was that people, 99.999% of every human being that uses Facebook, does not and did not read those terms of service.
Well, what do they say?
Yeah, I'd better read them and find out.
Well, too late now.
What did you, Miss Ernie? You got like a fan account and...
Yeah, you have, there's the Bobby Dooley account, which we all signed up under your auspices.
I don't care, it's still your account.
What do you mean it's my account? We used the email address you gave us.
I don't care. I've changed all those email addresses.
Well, you talk about a backstabbing, crawling...
What's backstabbing about that? I told you guys that I would sign you up and give you these email addresses, but it's your account.
Phil, I don't have time to look into these things. Are you telling me that you got me a Twitter account, and when the time was right and I turned my back on you... you stuck a spear between my shoulder blades.
Yeah, that's what I did, Margaret. I stuck a spear there.
That sounds racist to me.
It's not racist.
Why'd you say spear?
Because it came to mind. But I look at Phil, when I look at Phil, I think of Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. I didn't stick a spear in your back. You want to go over there and change anything you want, you can. But the fact is, if you're using Twitter and they got terms of service and they got terms of, you know, the way you're supposed to do stuff, then you better do it the way they tell you to do it. Otherwise, your ass is grass, friend. And that's just the way it is. All right, let's take a look here, man. Matt Hasselbeck, Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Who's first? How about Matt?
How about Elizabeth?
How about Matt?
How about Elizabeth?
All right, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Hasselbeck was cut by the Tennessee Titans today, but it doesn't look like she'll be unemployed for long. The former Titan is reportedly nearing a deal with the Indianapolis Colts. Hasselbeck was cut today by the Titans after the quarterback refused to take a pay cut. According to Sports Illustrated, Hasselbeck was scheduled to make $5.5 million this year, but the Titans were asking her to reduce her pay. The two couldn't come to an agreement, and Hasselbeck was sent packing. Titans general manager Rustin Webster said in a statement, "I want to thank Elizabeth for her contributions to our team over the last 2 years. She was an important part of the transition process. She was a pro at every turn, and she provided an example to the rest of the team. I know that we're a better team for her being here, and we wish her the best."
What are you looking at?
You don't understand what he just done.
Her, you...
Ah! Ha ha!
Shut up!
she, Elizabeth Hasselbeck of the Tennessee Titans. Where are you going?
Take a dump.
Listen to you. Meanwhile, Matt Hasselbeck is leaving The View. That's right, but then he wasn't leaving The View, and now he's leaving again. We don't really know who to believe, but word is out again that the queen of daytime talk, Matt Hasselbeck, is getting the boot from Barbara Walters' Daily Gabfest, but not just yet. Obviously, we're talking about Elizabeth. Over the weekend, the New York Post, page 6, reported Hasselbeck will leave The View before her long-term contract is up, despite the very public denial from Walters early last week. According to the Post report, ABC is desperate to freshen The View, and getting rid of Joy Behar and Hasselbeck was seen as the best way to do it. Behar got to announce her exit on her own, but some enemies of Hasselbeck's leaked her departure to the press. Walters was up in arms and called the whole thing off. Barbara was spitting mad that it got mishandled and called off the firing over last weekend, an anonymous source told the Post. The door is still open for an early exit, the report said, and that appears to be true. Boy, you know what she ought to do? Barbara Walters ought to, it's too late now, but she could have, when she got so pissed off and said the firing's off, she should have kept that under wraps.
Why?
Because then she would have been able to find out who was doing the leaking. If she would have just said, okay, you know what, we're not going to, but don't tell anybody yet, because you just say it like two people. And then guess what? You find out who the hell it is.
But what if it ain't them?
Then you realize that it's one of the people on the outer fringes of your inner circle, and the outer fringes of your inner circle where the, never mind. U.S. Weekly is now reporting ABC and Walters. ABC is trying to fire Walters because she's a pain in the ass, but they were trying, no, I'm kidding. We're trying to save face by calling off Hasselbeck's departure. Hasselbeck will still announce she is leaving on her own when she's ready, according to their source. So really, ABC was trying to avoid Elizabeth Hasselbeck becoming their version of Ann Curry. No one wins there. It should be noted that Us wasn't the only outlet reporting Hasselbeck's firing, but they were the first. So maybe we should take their latest report with a grain of salt if we're dealing with enemies leaking reports. Hasselbeck was getting canned because viewers found her too extreme and right-wing, they reported. In the meantime, Behar's chair still needs to be filled. Showbiz 411 reported Brooke Shields was the favorite, while the Post says Christie Brinkley and Ollie Wentworth are jockeying for position. The second seat just won't be open until Elizabeth Hasselbeck is ready. Who do you like, Margaret?
I think Michelle Obama.
What? Not even going to do that.
What's wrong with Michelle Obama?
Michelle Obama's going to do it.
Why not?
Because she's the first lady of the country. She's the first lady of the country. She's not going to sit in a TV studio.
Why not break new ground? I think it would be exciting.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
What's wrong with that? The more I think about that.
No, that's not dignified. Nobody wants to see the first lady of the country sitting there doing a TV show. I don't give a damn who it is. I don't care why it's there. I don't care who it's for. No, no, no.
Well, Phil, you're not the one calling the shots.
All right, well, we'll see. Let's take a break. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. No way. No way.
Why not? You haven't given a good reason. Why not?
Jesus, how strident can you get?
Why not?
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Why not?
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, you know, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is, we are a show noted for, we're one of the earliest proponents, if you will, of sort of digitizing our radio show. And what I mean by that is going from radio to the digital world, to the world of internet. One of the advantages you have is that you do not have to censor or otherwise, soften the material. We're out in the world of podcasts. We are online on our website, and we do things on our website beyond the radio show. So we have a pre-show on a video cast. We have a lot of behind the scenes. We have a lot of unedited material, a lot of rants. We also have, of course, our archives, our archive material. And we have the news feed. We have our miscellany, which are other podcasts and other video casts that we've done, other TV pilots that we've done, radio interviews, TV interviews. And essentially, it is like it's the world we live in. So beyond the radio show, and it's a world that we've been living in for at least the last 20 years. And our show has come such a long way. We've broken a lot of ground, and we've come up with some pretty good shows. So for you to be a part of that, I think, and I think a lot of people would agree with you, you'd be a part of radio history. There's a lot of radio shows that, you know, they want you to listen to their stuff. They want you to subscribe to their site, or they want you to, you know, for whatever reason, they want you to be a part of their internet experience. But our show is a real groundbreaking, history-making radio show. So a backstage pass gets you in the door to hear and to experience a show that's, quite frankly, a pretty tough one to do. And in fact, I was just on Jay Moore's podcast. This is an interesting thing. Jay's on the Bobby Dooley one, and we just did the Jay Moore one, which dropped today. And he was asking me about it and said, is it hard to do? Was it hard to do the kind of show that you do? Yeah. Yeah, it's very hard. But it's a lot of fun. And it begins and ends with me. It begins and ends with, am I having a good time? I know that that sounds sort of selfish, but I mean, that's the way everybody's job should be. If you got to, the first person you got to make happy is you. You got to be happy going to work in the morning, man, or it is not worth it. And if you're not happy going to work in the morning, the next thing that you need to do is find a way to be happy going to work in the morning, even if that means changing your job.
Yeah, but now you're going to have everybody want to do another job in case they're not happy going to the job that they're doing.
Well, I mean, if what I'm saying is making the... If what I'm saying...
Yes, what you're doing is you're dissatisfying people, though.
No. If what I'm saying, people are saying, well, yeah, I'm not happy going to work in the morning, then they should change their job.
Yeah, but all you're doing is making people unhappy.
Yeah, it's like in Fahrenheit 751 or whatever that was, where the guy goes, you know...
Fahrenheit 451?
Yeah, the guy goes, there's nothing in the books, Montague. The books have nothing to say.
Yes, I remember, Bud, that's very good. I remember that scene. The books have nothing to say. And I feel that even though Fahrenheit 451 was the story of a disgusting society that was repressive, that one man was making sense.
Yeah, a lot of ways, you know. You stay away from the books. The books have nothing to say.
The books have nothing to say.
Oh, is that what we're supposed to do in the world of Bud and Margaret and Robert, huh? Is just stay away from the books because the books will get you upset. And really, the books have nothing to say. Well, I don't think that's it. No, I don't think that's it at all.
Oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Bishop Sheen.
Bishop Sheen, huh?
Yeah, that guy had on a skull cap and he wore a cape, man. That's about as gay as it gets.
Pretty much.
I'll have you know. First of all, if I'm saying stuff that people should be taking into account as a way to help, why not, you know? So if it's not cool for you to be going into work unhappy, I'm going to say it. And I don't think it is. And the first guy that I like to make happy here is me. And I know that I've said a lot of this show has changed so much over the years, and I've said this many times, and there's a lot of people who are longtime fans of the show. This really makes them angry because we have had to, by necessity, sort of change our show. But I have said this more than once. And I said this as recently as last week to a guy that was talking to me from All Access. I said, I listen to our show now, and I laugh more listening to the air checks now than I ever did listening to the old shows, which some fans of our show would say are way better shows.
You're kidding. I feel that is absolute heresy. I dare you to go to any Phil Hendry fan and tell them that.
No, I think they would understand. I listen to the old shows. I hear good character bits. But then I hear full hours of rants that are embarrassingly bad. I hear...
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I hear full hours of rants that are embarrassingly bad. And then I also hear some character bits that were not all that good to begin with. Yeah, I hear a lot of bad stuff. I listen to this show now. Every single solitary show, there's something in it. Much more consistently funny than the old show.
What? Man, I think... You know what? I think you need to retire, man.
Yeah, I think it's time to hang it up. If you say something like that... My God, if you say that publicly, they will burn you at the stake.
Yeah. They will come and get you.
Well, okay, then let them. I think that would be a great way to go out. Phil Henry burned at the stake by his fans that are just, you know, burned at the stake.
I think it's Phil Henry show heresy.
Yeah, and you're smiling as you say that.
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, join us at our website, philhenryshow.com, for our show log, which we post after each and every show on philhenryshow.com. So you can see what the hell went on. What the hell did go on?
I think you talked to somebody.
Oh, that guy, Tim Bender.
Oh, that nut. That psychologist from Santa Barbara we spoke with earlier this evening, who was giving us some psychological lowdown, but the guy is from North Carolina. And frankly, even though he's a psychiatrist and a psychologist, was so uneducated and had such a thick accent, I couldn't understand one thing he said, he being our radio psychologist. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. Join us online for more fun and games here with the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And don't forget, sports fans, coming up tonight at 10 at 1 a.m. on the East Coast is the return of the Phil Henry Show. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.